Tommy Bowden, SIU Associate Professor, Information Technology at Cybersecurity Month. It's interesting because I had called Tom earlier in the week, knowing this was the last day of Cybersecurity Month, and between the time you and I spoke and getting you on the air today, we heard about this $100,000 phishing scheme.
Mm-hmm.
That's the appropriate term. It all, in Marion, $100,000, and it all started with an email, Tom.
Yeah, and, you know, we see these types of news stories, these unfortunate crimes, and you know, you think, how can somebody let that happen? But these bad guys, these criminals, have gotten so good that it's not really out of the realm of possibility that, you know, somebody can be tricked. You know, it's a lot of money to have to lose, and unfortunately it happened. But hopefully maybe today we can share some stuff that'll help people be on their guard a little more.
And that's where I want to go, and I'm glad you said that, because I've always looked at this as kind of a must do this or don't do that. But with my experience in speaking with other people and the problems they've had, I prefer to go with the don't ever do this list.
Okay.
Now, let's take the example of the cybersecurity issue here with Marion and the $100,000, because that started as an email, but more precisely, I think a phone number there, but probably in the most case scenarios, you'll see a link, and that's where the weak spot is.
Right. So the scams can come any way that they can get them to you, you know, whether that's a messenger through like Facebook or a text or an email, or it could even be somebody calling you. The key thing is that they're going to be, by and large, unsolicited. And so if you're not expecting somebody to be writing you up and asking you to do something or introducing themselves out of the blue, just kind of enter, and not just, you know, communications, but your use of the technology, unfortunately, you've got to just be skeptical. Enter anything that is out of the blue and unexpected that you didn't go out looking for with like this hat on. That's just your skeptic hat. And that will get you so much protection. Just being conscious that there's people out there, and maybe it's somebody who it looks like they sent you a wrong message on via a text number. You know, maybe that's what you got, and you're thinking, oh, it's just somebody who wrote me and they typed the wrong number in, but it's possibly a bad guy trying to get their foothold into you.
It could be as simple as a direct message, hello.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's commonplace. That's one of the top things to kind of look out for.
Send me a picture.
Right? Or, hey, didn't we meet? I've had one recently. It was like, didn't I meet you at a conference in Tampa last year? And
yeah.
No.
Somebody says, you know, we need your picture. Sure. But I only gave them stuff that had been previous. Can't you send more? They were going to probably clone my Facebook page, probably.
Any number of ways they could do something bad.
All right. So links on emails are mm-hmm. a weak spot. And you can sometimes see these emails where they look official, but if you look deeper, they may be from a government claiming to be from the FTC in this case, but it doesn't have the GOV at the end. A lot of things there. Emails. Where would you go second on don't ever do this?
So that's a good point. People are getting tricked because bad guys have been very successful at making things look authentic. So one thing I would say, if you get something unsolicited out of the blue, in general, big companies and the government are not going to email you with some sort of link to do something that's important. You know, there's very few exceptions. And if somebody sends you something unsolicited, if it's a warning from, you know, the government or your bank or something, don't click the link. Go ahead and call the bank. Call whoever it is. Double check things. So that's my first suggestion. Again, and that goes back to being skeptical. Another thing that you should do, though, is, and we'll get to some not do things, but I can't stress how important it is for good password hygiene and having long passwords and having different passwords across your accounts. You don't want to have the same Facebook as your bank or your email password. You want those to be separate, and you want to make sure that they're strong, because a short password is an easy to break password.
And a lot of people are thinking this, so I'm going to say it out loud. I can't remember a lot of passwords. I already have that problem. Now, I keep a notebook, literally, that's just passwords, mm-hmm. written, nothing on hard drives. But I do understand that.
Yeah.
And password generators, where you get this just indecipherable and impossible to memorize chain of, you know, numbers. And so you've told me in the past, you know, there's some vaults where you can keep those on your phone, so it'll handle that for you.
Yep. So like a password manager, LastPass, Bitwarden are two of the big ones.
I use Bitwarden myself.
Okay. And that's a good one. And so a tool like that is really good at helping create strong passwords. and then storing it into a special locked vault on your phone or on your browser or computer. And so when you go to visit a site, it will automatically remember what that stored password is. And the key thing is, you know, you have one password that you have to remember to get into that password vault. And so that helps you maintain good password hygiene.
All right. Everybody talks about, what's your Wi-Fi code? How much of a risk are Wi-Fis? If you're a public Wi-Fi, how much of a risk is that, Tom?
The risk is there. It's not what most people are being hit with. You know, you can go and you can hop on, you know, your coffee shop Wi-Fi, and you can maybe use a little bit for casual surfing. There have been stories recently about at airports, people setting up fake access points. And when you connect to that fake access point that maybe says Lambert Airport, right? And it looks like a legit one, but it's not. It's a bad guy. And if somebody's really motivated, they could fake an access point, fake a Wi-Fi network, and trick you into sending wherever you're going in through them, and then they can see what you're doing or steal your passwords or other bad stuff.
All right. So, got any other do not ever do's?
So just, again, when you're getting, like on social media, if you're seeing something that's out of character of the person who's talking to you, you know, if it's somebody who you've been a friend since, you know, 2012, but you haven't actually in real life communicated with them since 2012, and they're all of a sudden contacting you asking about a, you know, cryptocurrency investing, or is this a video of you from last weekend? You know, those
types. You can't believe what Bob got caught doing.
Exactly. If somebody is contacting you and it's not somebody you communicate with and it's out of the ordinary, don't believe it. You know, the skepticism is will take you a long way. Also, things like, you know, just like they say, if something's too good to be true, it's probably too good to be true. There's tons of online marketplaces.
I want to ask you this. If your friends and your experiences, mm-hmm. or somebody's looked at you at the eye, Tom, and said, I can't believe I let this happen to me. I should have known. And the last person said this, it was a guitar, and they wanted it, and the price was so good, they couldn't say no. And he looked at me and says, I can't believe I fell for that.
Yeah. You know, and it's unfortunate, but the reason these crimes happen is because they work. You know, if somebody tries to scam somebody, you know, 100 different random people and two of them fall victim, you know, what have they lost? They've lost time, and it doesn't cost any money for them to send fake messages via Facebook Messenger or something.
Right, and just constantly phishing for that personal information they can use. What's your dog's name? You know, that kind of thing.
Exactly. That's another thing with social media. There's tons of these online quizzes. You know, they're supposed to be fun. They're supposed to be entertaining. But you may end up just submitting information that could help a bad guy, you know, answer your password recovery. What's your mom's maiden name? What was your first dog's
name? There's a lot of risk on social media. They're constantly phishing for you and information.
There certainly can be. And that's the thing to consider is, do you need to put so much information out there? You know, you can do some to limit what people can see with privacy, but it can be tough. It can be a challenging thing to really lock down your privacy if it's not something you're accustomed to thinking about and doing. And so really, you know, what do you need to share, and is that information that somebody could potentially use against you in some sort of a scam? Because really, with attackers from these basic attackers who are going after anybody they can find to the attackers who are targeting CEOs of major companies, anything they can learn about who they're attacking is going to help them be more successful potentially.
All right, so it was that sense of familiarity.
Yeah.
I didn't understand why, and I'm going to hope you can. I was looking over a list of suggested things when it comes to Cybersecurity Month, and it said create backups.
Sure. So it's important to understand what you have in terms of data or information you want to make sure is secure. And for me, for example, it's pictures. You know, on my phone, I take so many pictures of kids, and I don't want my kids' pictures from 12 years ago when they were cute and still friendly to, you know, to be gone because my phone falls in the pool or something like that, right? So just understanding what it is you want to back up, and then today it's so easy to just use, like, if you have an iPhone, an iCloud, or Google Drive or something like that to automatically back up those things. You know, if you're talking a small business or something, there's more that goes into it. But, you know, there are statistics that are out there about the number of businesses that fail when there's a big cyber disaster. And that can be just data loss. You know, if you your server with your financials is you know, it gets hit by lightning and you're not backed up, that can be thousands and thousands of dollars of outstanding invoices that you miss out on. So it is important. It's not, you know, it's more complex than what we can get here.
See, but you know, what's interesting, Tom, is how I was thinking about this is me and my checking account.
Mm-hmm.
And then you said invoice, and I'm thinking there's a whole world out there of risk when you're a small business person.
Potentially, yeah. And there's different types of risk depending on the types of accounts and the types of scams that people do. Like if somebody tricks you into giving them a half a Bitcoin or something, or a gift card for Amazon, you're probably out of luck.
Right. If somebody, if some government entity says you can pay us in gift cards, all the alarms and buzz and whistles should be going off.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, the FTC or IRS is not going to ask for Spirit Halloween gift cards.
Well, we're gonna come by and pick the money up at your house in 15 minutes.
Have it in little bills, right?
Have small bills. Yeah, have the cops there when they get there. You know, there's a lot of there's a lot of people. Like I said, the government just doesn't say, "Oh, we'll drop by and pick that money up."
Exactly.
All right. Before we let people go, Tom Imboden is joining us this morning, SIU Associate Professor, Information Technology, cybersecurity expert, and teacher in this as well. Final note for today.
Two things. One thing you can do to really protect yourself is to enable that multi-factor authentication on your important accounts. And that's where you get a text message, or, you know, after you put in your username and password, you've got to do something else. It's got to send you a text message. Maybe you get an email. Maybe there's a number that's generated on your phone. That helps in case you do get tricked into giving somebody your password. They've only got the first part of the two parts. So multi-factor authentication. Secondly, if this is a topic that you're interested in, it's a career field is so hot, you can study this, cybersecurity technology at SIU. You can find that info at cybersecurity.siu.edu. The career field is unimaginably interesting and rewarding, because you can help protect people from getting scammed with these types of, you know, from these types of bad guys.
Yeah, well, somebody apparently tried to use my account at the credit union.
Yeah.
And I got the warning from them, somebody tried this at this time. And I found that, to be honest with you, it didn't throw me off as much as I found it reassuring.
It's good to know, but then again, bad guys know that they can send out fake alerts too. And those fake alerts,
I forgot about that. I saw my friend Cindy, right? She posted, you know, this is PayPal. You know, got this problem. You need to hit this link. That's what that was. They were scamming. They were getting ready to scam her.
And if she goes to the PayPal account, she goes and types in paypal.com and goes there and logs in like she normally does, any type of alert that might be a security issue, she should see a warning or a message or a, you know, a little pop-up that says, hey, check this out. This is happening, right? So then she can verify. If somebody sends you something, go to the original source. Don't click on the link. Go there separately. Go to a web browser. Open up that PayPal or the Facebook or whatever it is, your bank. Go there directly the way you normally would, and then check through there.